Troy. From the studios of WRPI in Troy, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, what happens when you mix the two, and where, like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host for the next hour and a half as we explore this world of the high tech. Tonight is episode number 21 of Little Brother, dated the 22nd of September, 2001. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. Okay, thank you for tuning in and being a part of our show. This is Little Brother episode 21, as I said before. Moved to a new time slot, Saturday nights, from 7 to 8:30 on WRPI Troy. I'd like to remind you before we get started that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, WRPI staff or management, or the Rensselaer Student Union. If you'd like to add your opinion to ours here, the phone number's here at the WRPI studios, or area code 518-276-6248. So let's get started. Big one tonight. www.slashdot.org had a link on Tuesday the 18th, which connected it to a website whose name isn't arable, but we'll say that it begins with an F and ends with company.com. For purposes of this report, we'll call it eftcompany.com. The message on eftcompany.com was short and straight to the point. It read, and I quote, "Just trying to help, and for this they get a luck. Clear Channel, owner of 1,170 radio stations, has banned these songs from the airwaves, including the song about war, the word Tuesday, and even Walk Like an Egyptian. Okay, I can do without that one. I've confirmed the list with people, and they say it's legit." End quote. The message included a link to a list of songs, which I'll get to in a minute. Well, this has proven to be a case of the internet allowing a story to get out of hand. I took a few minutes to speak with Susan Groves, the operations manager of WHRL, a Clear Channel station in the Albany, New York market, who started by stating that no songs have been banned. What had actually happened here, according to Grove, is that one program director had put together a list of songs that he thought might not be ideal to be played at this particular time and sent it around in a mass emailing to other program directors of Clear Channel stations. The list was tentative and intended to stimulate discussion amongst the program directors. The claim is that there has been no order from corporate headquarters to ban these songs, only discussion amongst program directors, and the possibility that some program directors may have taken it upon themselves not to air these songs. This is a rare point for Clear Channel in my book. And actually, while I'm on the subject, I'm going to break from the story for a second and say I would also like to give a kudos to Clear Channel for their support of the rescue activities down in New York City. I wanted to bring this up tonight because I wanted to make a point, that point being that people may tend to overreact when emotions run hot. Something from a director in Clear Channel Communications was taken as an official view and viewed as an overreaction. Perhaps it was. You'll get the chance to decide that for yourself. In return, free speech advocates overreacted with a mighty, "Oh my God, they're banning things left and right." I suggest that everyone stop, take a deep breath, and make sure your brain is firmly engaged before you open your mouth. This is no time for us to be going overboard on one another. I mentioned a moment ago that I'd be letting you, the listening audience, decide for yourselves if some of these songs should or should not be on the list. I've picked a few select songs, and I'll be playing them periodically throughout the night, about when I would normally do my musical interludes. All of the music I'll be playing tonight, save for my backdrop music, is from the list that has made its way around on the internet. Please feel free to call in and comment on it. Our phone number again is area code 518-276-6248. Please feel free to give us a call and voice your opinion on the topic. Any other topic I've considered, or whatever else you may want to talk about. And while we're there, let me take a moment and I unfortunately neglected to introduce my guests in the studio this evening. Phil is here tonight. Say hello, Phil.
Hello.
And Lil is here again tonight. Say hello, Lil.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
And, of course, Phil's daughter.
I brought my daughter in,
yes.
Sydney.
Say hi, Sydney.
Hi.
Okay.
And Sydney's here to talk about technology.
I'm sure she's learned quite a lot of it from her father, eh?
Especially the Furby game, Sid? Yeah.
All right. At any rate, before the program, you heard me play John Lennon's Imagine. That was the first item that actually appeared on this list. And as I said in the article, it appears to be just about anything that covers the topic of war, peace, death, the afterlife, or Tuesday. Although somehow Tuesday afternoon didn't make it to the list. I'm not quite sure how.
It happened in the morning.
It must have you're right. It happened in the morning.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I think I had made that point to you when I called you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I stole it.
Okay. That's all right. I don't mind. This is free information. This is about the free spread of information. So if you happen to catch a point that I've said to you before that I've missed tonight, please speak up.
All right.
Anyway, what we'll do is we'll put that one aside for the moment. As I said, we're going to play some of that music throughout the course of the night. And so if you hear something playing here that you think should be playable, please call in and speak your piece. Also, if you think it should not be played, call in. I want to hear from you. 518-276-6248. Also, We have an article tonight. Actually, not an article. We have a letter from one of our regular listeners. This comes to us from Defarge. And, Lil, this one, you'll appreciate this one, actually.
All right.
This person writes, "Thanks for broadcasting the email address to send positive messages to the Muslim community. I gave it out to people where I work, and one in particular ran to her computer to send a message. Sounds like a small thing, but it was good to have something constructive to do."
Yeah, actually, that's been spreading quite a lot. The guy, the owner or manager, I'm not certain which, of Sitar's restaurant, said that he had actually gotten a call from someone, and they said, "Are you Pakistani?" And he said, "No, I'm Indian. Why are you, what do you need with Pakistani? I want to know where there's a Pakistani restaurant." They wanted to call and harass anyone they could find that was Pakistani. And fortunately, that manager managed to talk him down and calm him down, especially when you consider that Pakistan is currently our ally.
It sounds like he's going out on a real limb just to find...
Yeah, just to find someone to harass. So anyway, the manager took a whole stack of the flyers and a sampling of some of the writings that had been received already, and he's putting them in each person's bill. Also in New Paltz, New York right now, downstate, there's a conference going on this weekend for a festival of some type for Arts for Peace, which is a group one of my friends runs, and they're distributing the flyers and the email address down there as well.
It's a beautiful thing. It's terribly, terribly unfortunate that somebody would be going out of their way.
I know.
To look for Arabs to harass.
Yeah, yeah, not even Arabs.
Well,
I don't know.
All right, looking for Muslims to harass. We'll put it that way. Especially when you consider that so many of them are amongst our allies. Last I checked, Jordan was amongst our allies. I think I mentioned this last week.
Yeah.
Jordan is amongst our allies.
Yeah.
I believe Egypt is as well. I don't know. It's hard to keep track of all of them exactly, because allegiances do change from time to time. And it's been a while since I've paid a great deal of attention to the Persian Gulf, and that's my bad.
Majority of people, though, aren't really discerning. They're just angry, and they're looking for someone to blame, and we don't exactly know. We don't have one particular country to blame, since it was a group of...
So everybody with dark skin, come on over and let me harass you.
That seems to be the attitude, yeah.
You got dark skin, you got straight hair, get on over here.
Yeah, don't forget a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's part of the stereotype.
Oh, well, the beard. The whole beard. But I don't know, I've seen plenty of people who are Pakistani without beards. Especially that woman, I would assume, doesn't have a beard, that worked at Macy's that got chased in.
Well, you'd hope not.
You'd hope not, but you never know. Sometimes, you know.
Yeah. But it's beside the point.
Happen.
People are taking the stereotype and running with it and
they
looking
are.
For people to harass because they feel that it's the people as a whole who have committed this really heinous act.
Someone said, I'm not sure who, but someone said that the folks, the terrorists who did this are to the Muslim faith what the KKK is to the Christian faith. And I think that's a very good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one, actually. It is. So if you think of it in those terms, I mean, are you going to go attack all white Christian people simply because the KKK came from white Christian people? No. No.
I mean, you
certainly don't approve of what the KKK does, but that's not how you deal with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, that email address is peacemongerme@hotmail.com. That's peacemongerme@hotmail.com.
And again, our phone number here is 518-276-6248 if you'd like to talk about this. If you don't feel like talking about it, you can also send us email. My email address is critter@verizoneatspoop.com. And if you'd like to send snail mail, you can do that as well. My address here at the radio station is Chuck Ritter, care of WRPI, 1 WRPI Plaza, Troy, New York, 12180. You can also send it in the name of the show, Little Brother, care of WRPI, etc., etc. Anyway, this, unfortunately... normally, at this point in time, I would go into news from the Risks Digest. In light of recent events, the Risks Digest hasn't published anything that
was particularly usable tonight. So we're skipping that item. But this is where we would normally plug that in. This instead comes from freedomforum.org. This is by Paul McMasters, and he says, "Last Tuesday's terrors were so calamitous that they threatened to shake us loose from our constitutional mooring. A civil liberties catastrophe looms as citizens surrender to fear, fury, and frustration, and as lawmakers throw money and shards of the Bill of Rights at the specter of terrorism. Some of our elected leaders predict a gloomy future for freedom. According to Richard A. Gebhardt, a Missouri Democrat, we're in a new world where we have to rebalance freedom and security. We're not going to have all of the openness and freedom that we once had." State Minority Leader Trent Lott from Mississippi repeated the warning, "When you're in this type of conflict, when you're at war, civil liberties are treated differently." Even staunch First Amendment advocates, haunted by the suffering and devastation in New York City, near Washington, D.C., and the Pennsylvania countryside, are tempted to temporize in the face of insistent calls to suspend or re-examine our commitment to civil liberties. And I'm going to take a stop right there and say this First Amendment advocate is not amongst those. The First Amendment fallout commenced within hours of the airplanes crashing into their targets Tuesday afternoon. FBI agents fanned out to persuade internet firms and service providers to hook up email sniffing software to monitor private citizens' email. While the desire to marshal all resources in such circumstances is understandable, there are serious consequences for private speech and the public discourse when ordinary citizens fear that the law enforcement officials with broad powers to investigate and detain are listening in. Expressive activity was curtailed in a variety of places. A high school official reprimanded a student who distributed a flyer asking her classmates to pray. Officials at the Baltimore Museum of Art took down a Christopher Wohl painting containing the word terrorist. Later, they promised to provide new interpretation for the painting when it is reinstalled. New York police and members of the National Guard confiscated film from journalists and tourists. If only that were the worst of it. Government officials and policymakers immediately called for measures that would chill public discourse, disrupt reporting by the press, and interrupt the flow of information to the public. They want an expansion of law enforcement powers to spy on telephone and internet traffic, to restrict the use of internet encryption products that thwart online monitoring of private email, to slow down and divert funds from the declassification of secrets, and to force public libraries to reveal information about patrons' use of their computers. In Congress, prospects brightened for several troubling measures, including the Cybersecurity Information Act, which, amongst other things, would blow a gaping hole in the Freedom of Information Act. The anti-leaks legislation, dubbed the Official Secrets Act by those who are deeply concerned about its impact on speech and press and the flow of critical information to the public. The Flag Desecration Act, which, for the first time in history of our nation, will amend the First Amendment to prohibit burning the flag as a form of political dissent. Do you believe this?
Wow. You know, actually, we were watching a news story last night, and I wish I remember what channel it was, but I don't. And they were asking people how they felt about giving up some of their civil rights just for a little while for the... and they were asking people how they felt about giving up some of their civil rights just for a little while for the, you know, the safety of the nation. And everyone was just like, yeah, just everybody just give it up for a little while so that we can be safe. But they're forgetting something very important, I think, and that is, yes, we all want to be safe and we're all scared. But first of all, do you really think that that will prevent all that much? I don't. Second of all, the thing that George Bush is saying in all of his speeches is that what's under attack here is a way of life. And our freedom of speech and our right to privacy is part of our way of life. And if we give that up, then they have won the battle. They've won. They've won because we've given up our right to privacy.
Here's a point, too. I mean, going back to World War II, before World War II, we didn't have income tax. And then they had the income tax to help finance the war. And after the war was over, we still had income tax. And to this day, we still have income tax. I mean, if we give up our freedoms for a little while, who's to say that we'll ever get them back?
Very good, Phil. That's exactly where I was going to go with this next.
because I don't think that if we give up our freedoms that we will ever get them back.
Yes, but I think it's important to... that's true that we won't get them back, but right now people are scared enough that they're willing to give them up completely. And I think it's important to point out to people that at that point, the terrorists won. They made you scared enough to give up your way of life, and that's not what we want to do. You know, it's scary. It's frightening right now. I'm scared out of my wits, but I don't, you know, I'm, maybe it's just foolish pride, but I'm not willing to back down at this point. It's just, then they've won. They've won.
Absolutely.
They got you to do what they wanted you to do. It had a better effect than they'd hoped, even, if we do that.
Absolutely.
Sydney, you've been awfully quiet. What do you think about all this?
Nope.
She thinks she's feeling shy.
Shying away from the microphone. Well, that's all right. That's all right. I think that this is an awful lot for an awful lot for a four-year-old to bear.
Five-year-olds?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. She's happy with her coloring book.
All right, we'll let her color then.
Low technology solutions.
Low technology saves the day yet again. Alrighty, well, on that note, I'm going to move on to another one of the songs that is on the gray list here, and the idea is that I think that this is an example of us giving up our liberties. Now, I grant that this particular chain of radio stations that had the manager who put this list around. Has the right to play or not play whatever they choose. However, by setting out a list like this for the reasons they have set it out, they have given up their lifestyle effectively. Let me put it this way.
Oh, no, that's not true. I don't think that any Clear Channel radio station DJ has ever actually played every song they wanted to. When you're working with big business, there's an unspoken large set of rules, and
yes.
Unfortunately this fits into it.
Well, let me put it.
They're
to
giving
you.
Up our way of lifestyle here at WRPI. Not
let
theirs.
Me put up let me put up an interesting point here. One of the songs, one of the things to keep in mind about Clear Channel is that amongst their holdings are a very large number of classic rock radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while we're not going to necessarily discuss the qualifications or disqualifications of any given format of radio station, let me ask you this. Can you imagine a classic rock radio station not being able to play Stairway?
No, Stairway.
Denied. Yeah, I could see that
showing
one coming.
Our age a little here. Yeah.
So I'm going to move on to another one of the songs that has been put on the gray list here, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
And if anyone wants to call in, the number is?
Yes, the number is area code 518-276-6248. Give us your opinion of this song potentially not being heard on any Clear Channel radio station.
Control. I'd rather die than give you control. of the bruised. I got money's not one to choose. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me.
Listening to 91.5 FM WRPI in Troy. That is one of the songs that has made the list.
Yeah, but that's a bad example. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't want Nine Inch Nails played on the air.
Well, I would grant your point there. But my primary point is I want to try to give a... Well, you see, the thing is, do you see this here? This is the list.
It's three pages typed.
It's three pages typed.
What is it, like size and 10 font, too? It's not like
yeah,
so
it's not large, and I would show it to you the listening audience, but obviously I can't do that.
Put it on your website.
Yeah, actually I could. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. I could do that. That's easy enough. The website is www.tricityads.com, and before you panic, there are no ads on Tri-City Ads. That is a domain that
also,
was kindly...
Also, if you'd like to sell us an ad, please email webmaster.
No. There will be no ads. There will be no ads on that website.
Come on, we're trying to buy a house. Come on.
It was a website that was kindly donated by Phil. Thank you, Phil.
Oh, no problem.
All right. But since I can't show you the list, This is it rattling
well,
in my hand
which
here.
Which we opened with, and I mean, I think that would be a great song to play right now.
Yeah, I agree. It's perfect. It is exactly what we need right now. And I'm trying to, since the list is as big as it is, I'm trying to make sure that what we play tonight is a representative set, or at least as representative as I can possibly make it. At any rate... If we continue on with Paul McMaster's, I almost forgot, and I apologize for doing this. We did have a call during the song playing, and the caller did not choose to speak with us on the air, which is fine. We allow that. But if you'd like to throw your opinion in, by the way, 518-276-6248 is the phone number here. But he did say that as a result of this news, he will be removing all of his Clear Channel presets from his radios. Now,
oh my,
I'm going to tell
that's
you
strong.
I believe. I agree that is very strong. I'm going to say that, anybody certainly has the right to do that. Maybe that is a case of possibly overreacting. I don't know. Because as I said when I brought the article out in the first place, this is more of a suggestion that was passed around at a particular level. It's no official ban of any sort.
Although, on the other hand, as we all know, it's entirely possible that, you know, a suggestion can come in little bunny ear quotation marks as well. And we do know that, you know.
This
I
is
mean,
true.
Most of this censoring that's done is done through suggestion, again, with the little bunny ears.
Right. And I'm going to say that the...
there could be a lot of pressure behind this suggestion.
That the person that I spoke to... implied to me that this was not the case, but it is only an implication.
Of course they would imply to you that it wasn't the case. I'm not trying to, like, you know, start a riot or anything.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
We appear to have a caller, so let's see what we have, shall we? Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, caller, you're on the air with a little brother.
Caller's
Hello?
Been censored.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
On the air with who?
Little brother.
What's a little brother?
It's a technology show.
Oh.
All right.
Were you looking for somebody?
Somebody called and paid me from that number.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Dear, well, it wasn't us.
Well, we certainly apologize for the inconvenience.
Okay, what's little brother, though?
Little Brother is a show on WRPI in Troy, 91.5 FM, where we discuss high technology, low intelligence, and what happens when you mix them. And right now we're in the middle of a discussion of a list of songs that's been distributed amongst program managers by program managers of Clear Channels, of the Clear Channels radio stations.
Songs that they suggest might not be played at this point in time.
Like hardcore rap?
No, not even like John Lennon's Imagine. And
Steve Miller's Jet Airliner is on the list here.
Although that they might be right about that one.
Well,
there's a DJ there. Always
really?
Feels.
Yeah.
It might have been him paging me.
Okay.
I bet it was.
All right.
Well, I'll let you go then.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
And, of course, you are welcome to call, even if you dial us by accident. The number is 518-276.
We'll be happy to talk to anybody.
518-276-6248. My email address is critter@verizoneatspoop.com. And you can send snail mail to Little Brother, care of WRPI, 1 WRPI Plaza, Troy, New York, 12180. At any rate, to continue on with Paul McMaster's article here, he says, to compound the threat, this, of course, is what we were just talking about, there are disturbing examples of private or self-imposed restrictions on expression. Web pages shut down or removed content. Radio networks circulated a list of songs that would be problematic to play. An employer confiscated American flags from the desks of workers. And a wire service withheld news footage after Palestinian threats against a photographer.
Yeah. Again, this is just another example of everybody's scared and nobody blames them. The person who's doing the pacifist mailing at peacemongerme and hotmail.com is doing it under an alias out of fear of persecution for themselves. It's just a time of rampant fear for everyone. So people are even censoring themselves.
Okay. And we have another caller on the line, so let's see what we have, shall we? Hello, caller. You're on WRPI.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, I wanted to... answer. Are we live?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Oh, you are live. Okay. I heard about your list, and I'm wondering about whether it's a hoax.
There is the question had been asked, and I actually did call Clear Channel Communications myself to verify that it is not a hoax.
Okay.
But when I spoke to them, as I say, their claim is that it is a suggestion. I want to be neutral as a commentator. As a commentator, I am biased, but I want the program to be neutral. So I want the statements of the news that are contained within this program to be neutral if possible. And I want to emphasize that Clear Channels has not sent this down as a blacklist. from their corporate offices. I want to emphasize, I consider this to be at best a gray list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not a blacklist.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Even though the copy that I have, the website that posted it printed it in white on black.
It is not necessarily a blacklist.
But they didn't do the step of verification that I did.
Some of the suggestions are so. Some of the songs are so. So bizarre. So, how come they're on that list? It looked like a joke. But since you checked, I'll take your word for it.
Yes, sir. I did check. Did you? Right. So you've seen the list then?
I didn't see it. I've heard other stations. Because I'm from Montreal, and I drove down to New York City today.
Uh-huh.
In fact, last night, and I'm driving back tonight.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you're the best radio station I found along
well, we
the
certainly,
way.
Well, so. We certainly greatly appreciate that.
I scanned them all, and but I've heard other stations mention it, and some of the songs that they mentioned were so, like New York, New York by Frank Sinatra.
Yes, New York, New York is on the list.
It looks like a joke, but you check. So.
Benny and the Jets is on the list. I can kind of understand how it got there, but it's a stretch.
Yeah. Stairway to Heaven, my God.
Yes, okay. I know that radio is pretty much the same from nation to nation, unfortunately, in this day and age. You understand the classic rock format.
Yes.
And can you believe a classic rock radio station might be getting word from its program manager not to play Stairway? That is a staple.
Steve Miller.
Yeah.
That is a staple in classic rock radio.
They must put it on at least 10 times a day. What'll they put instead? All right, well, good luck. Good continuation with the show.
Hey, thank you very much for calling, and thank you very, very much for listening.
No problem.
Keep
up the good work. Bye-bye.
Take care.
You know, actually, since we're talking about, you mentioned New York, New York. For some reason, it struck my memory. The librarian at work showed me an interesting thing. If you go into Word and you type the letters NYC, right? Of course, short for New York City.
Right.
And you highlight them and you change the font, right? You put it to Webdings, I think, is the first one.
Right.
And what pops up is actually a picture of an eye, a picture of a heart, and a picture of a city. Yeah, but then it actually gets creepy, because if you switch it to another font, Wingdings,
right,
what pops up is a skull and crossbones, a Star of David, and a thumbs up.
That's bad.
Isn't that creepy?
That is really creepy.
That's really creepy. Try it. It really works.
It's a Microsoft conspiracy.
No, I know. I know, actually. Her husband sent it to her in an email, and he started it off by saying, this is proof that, Bill Gates is behind the New York City bombing. But of course, that's not true, because, of course, it's actually individual people that work for Bill Gates that created the fonts,
yeah,
I'm sure.
I would consider
some nutball.
I would consider it more of a coincidence than anything else.
That's probably, the second one is probably a coincidence. The first one probably is not, the little eye and the heart in the city.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a moment here for a public service announcement. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money to learn about money or cooking or computers or auto repair. Thanks to the internet, it's now possible to get professional answers to topical questions without spending time or money. For example, to find out how to save on taxes, you can log on to a helpful website called askme.com and type in the word taxes. You'll be presented with a variety of tax experts ready to answer your specific questions. The site has experts covering more than 2,000 subjects, from law to gardening, and because the information is based on years of professional experience, users know it's reliable. The service is free. You don't have to pay to ask a question, because the experts aren't paid for providing answers. The experts, attorneys, accountants, and more, say that they offer their services without charge because answering such a wide range of questions keeps them sharp. Okay, with that out of the way, I think we can take another brief musical interlude here. This is yet another song that is on the gray list that we've been discussing this evening. This is the Talking Heads on Little Brother on WRPI 91.5 FM, Troy. Thank you. You're listening to 91.5 FM WRPI Troy. Show is Little Brother. And looks like we have yet another caller on the line, so let's see what we have, shall we? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I just had a couple of things, actually. Like, you're talking about how Clear Channel put out this list?
No, I want to be very clear about this. Clear Channel did not put the list out.
Okay.
A program manager in Clear Channel put the list out.
All right.
So
yeah,
it's not an official action of Clear Channel.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I was trying to figure out what you guys were talking about. And is it just because of what happened in New York?
Yes, that's the reason why this list exists. They were discussing songs that perhaps might be less than perfectly appropriate to play in the wake of recent events.
That's rather odd, I think.
I thought so myself. I would, if I'm not mistaken, I may be on this one. I could be completely off the wall on this one. I want to say, isn't Clear Channels the station that network that carries Howard Stern?
Yeah.
They are. Okay.
Oh, wait, actually, no, because that's on the Edge, and that's...
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure who that is. I think that's Infinity or something. I don't know.
The Edge. No, that's... nope, I don't remember who owns that one.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right. All right. I was going to say it seems odd that they would walk away from a controversy. But if they're not the same network, then that's another matter entirely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
That's just... I don't know, this seems a little overkill for just... They're just songs written years before this happened, and I don't think they really make any reference towards it.
No, for a large part, no. Like I said, the list seems to include anything that might talk about peace, parting of ways. Death is an obvious one.
Yeah.
Any song that talks about air travel. Any song that talks about Tuesday, except for Tuesday afternoon, because the event happened on Tuesday morning. And some Strays. Santana's Evil Ways is on the list. Jaeger and Evans in the year 2525 is not being played on, or well, is on the list for the oldies stations. Peace Train is on the list. Cat Stevens. Now this list. Some of these songs I can understand. You know, it's very clear how they landed on the list, and this is an example of why you don't engage in censorship, because when you've landed a first couple items on the list, it just kind of spiders out and eventually will engulf everything. You follow the logic?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I understand the logic of that, but it's just, I don't understand the logic of making a list in the first place, really.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. There were some songs that were just blatantly obvious about, like, really bad.
Yeah.
But,
well, I believe that the program manager's intentions were good, but we know about intentions.
Yeah.
You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, or
yeah,
so goes the saying.
Yeah.
And if we start allowing good intentions to produce lists like this, which, like I say, they spider out, then we have a problem on our hands. And Phil just shrugs on that one.
Yeah, it's all strange.
It is. It is.
I don't know. I'm not much of an authority on that, and I just realized I'm on the air, so I have trouble speaking now.
Oh. It took that long for the realization to sink in?
Oh,
sometimes.
Radio's on in the other room.
Oh, I see.
Sometimes I have trouble speaking, and I'm in the studio, so I don't
feel
bad.
I kept on hearing it a little while later.
It's all right. It's all right. We don't bite.
Yeah.
And I like to think that the RPI listening audience are reasonably thoughtful and patient and tolerant bunch. But I don't see any, you know, relax. Like I say, we don't bite.
Yeah.
you know? Obviously, this is speculation about the makeup of the audience. I don't know for sure who's actually out there listening unless they call in.
Oh, well, there's usually some pretty good shows on to listen to.
Well,
I haven't actually heard your show before, but...
Well, it was previously on, up until this week, I was on Friday nights. So this is the new semester has begun. The schedule has been rearranged.
So wait, are you on every night?
Yes, I'll be on every Saturday night until hockey season, and then after football season ends, I will be going on at sometime in the middle of the day on Saturdays. Although I forget whether it was 11:30 or 1:30. I'll have to get back to everyone on that one.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you for listening, and please do tune in again, and please don't be afraid to call in.
Oh, yeah.
Like I say, we don't bite. All right?
All right. Thanks.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too.
Nice guy. Anyway, let's see. Going back to the article here. He says, it would be foolish to dismiss such events, public or private, as mere nibbling at the edges of our rights. In fact, each nibble diminishes our commitment to freedom and the principles that distinguish our way of life from all others. In such an atmosphere, voices of dissent grow silent, probing questions by the press are viewed as unpatriotic and subversive, and whistleblowers inside government with vital information are quieted. In such an atmosphere, propaganda, rumor, and paranoia fester and infect. In such an atmosphere, citizens are denied their place as full partners in their own governance. By suspending some of our most precious principles, the risk becomes not just that terrorists whose hearts have grown rancid with hate, but also a citizenry whose hearts are filled with fear. There are things we can and should be doing rather than joining the stampede to ditch our rights. As columnist Thomas Friedman put it, we have to fight the terrorists as if there were no rules and preserve our open society as if there were no terrorists. First, we must remember that we've gone down this road too many times before. We've suspended freedom of speech, press, and assembly during wartime and other crises to the point of sending prominent Americans to jail for long terms for uttering unpatriotic words. And always, we've looked back in wonderment that we could have been so stupid, that we could have been so easily convinced to cast aside our democratic heritage. We must demand of ourselves that a distinction is made in public discourse as well as public policy between what is merely inconvenient and what strikes at the heart of our most important freedoms. We must demand of those proposing a degradation of our freedom that they provide an immediate and convincing argument that such an approach represents a real solution rather than a false hope. Finally, before we begin to contemplate forfeiture of any of our essential liberties, we must thoroughly examine the lapses in public policy and operations that have become so cruelly evident in the wake of the disaster. Lapses in intelligence collection and analysis, in basic security measures at airports, in granting and monitoring of visas, in national, state, and local emergency preparedness. As much as we wish to be safe forever from the horrors of last week, we simply cannot protect freedom by forsaking freedom. As much as we want relief from this time of national duress, we simply cannot make ourselves more secure by making fundamental freedoms less secure. The words of Samuel Adams in a different time and context present a challenge to our natural impulse to sacrifice freedom in the face of terrorism. He said, and I quote, "Contemplate the mangled bodies of your countrymen and say, what should be the reward of such sacrifices? If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you." End quote. What an affront to the courage and heroism shown by those who gave their lives in the rescue efforts or forcing hijackers to crash if we give in easily to fear or panic. Fire from the skies and hatred from afar last Tuesday caused human carnage and suffering at an unthinkable level. They dealt terrifying blows to our financial institutions, our transportation and communication systems, our political and military nerve centers, and to a nation's sense of self and security. Do we really want to add constitutional freedoms to that sorrowful list of casualties? Your opinions are welcome. 518-276-6248 is the number to call if you would like to express one. Cryptography is a topic that has been breached many times on this program because I feel it's important. So, but before I go on to that, let's bring you the next caller. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
You're on the air.
No, I don't want to be on the air.
Okay, well, let me take you off then, and I'm going to put you on hold for a couple minutes, all right?
Okay.
All right. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll go to our next musical interlude, and I want you to remember all of the interludes that we play tonight are songs that have appeared on a list that's been passed around between the program managers of Clear Channel stations as a suggestion of list songs that should not be played.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had tan, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. No one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about her, though they all knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had tan, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. Sunday on a black day, making a salutation, selling happy intimidation.
okay, Annie? Annie, you okay? You okay? You okay, Annie? Annie, you okay? You okay? You okay, Annie?
Annie, are you okay? Would you tell us that you're okay? And you miss out of the window, then he struck you at the sandal, Annie. Give it to a bargain, left the bloodstains on the carpet. And then you ran into the bedroom, you were struck down, it was your doom.
Annie, you okay? You okay? You okay, Annie? You've been hit by, you've been struck by a smooth criminal.
Listening to Little Brother on 91.5 FM WRPI in Troy, New York. Two of the songs that have been banned, or I shouldn't say banned, two of the songs that have landed on the gray list, that would be The Zombies with She's Not There and Alien Ant Farm with Smooth Criminal.
What's the deal with She's Not There? I couldn't understand enough of it to know what they were talking about. So
I
have a bad ear for that.
I believe the primary concern with She's Not There is it does concern a loss.
Oh, just the feeling of missing someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Saddening people. It is depressing. Yeah.
It really seriously is. We did have I'm kind of going in two directions here, because at the same time as I'm having this discussion, I'm also lining up the next one of these and trying to find some notes that I took. We had a caller during the musical interlude who made some very excellent points that I think need to be repeated, and they are as follows. First of all, this act is fundamentally evil. It cannot come from religious people. Religious people, or at least in the religions that we understand.
Three.
If you want to go with the big three,
of which this is one,
are peace-loving people. She commented also that this sounded like it was like we were on some sort of a survival show, that people are getting voted off, that we should not allow ourselves to be part of this game. Mm. Amen to that. And I'm sorry, what?
I certainly feel like I'm on some kind of survival show. Like, I want to go, like, build a bunker and hunker down. I do. I seriously do. I want to buy, like, a lifetime supply of canned goods and just hide.
And you see, by the same token, I have refused to abandon my normal life.
Right, me too. Yeah. It's hard, though. It is. It's really hard. I did abandon it the day of the tower falling, actually. I was at work, and by 11 o'clock, I was gone because I was freaking, you know, I was concerned about Phil at work. He works out in Schenectady, and he called me up and said a bunch of emergency vehicles just went by, and I thought, oh my God, they're rioting in Schenectady, and I got the hell out of there, I'll tell you, I'll be frank with you. I abandoned it that one day, and you know what? The worst part is that then everybody was acting perfectly normal on the bus. Everybody was let off from work in downtown Albany because of the state government being there, and
right.
It's the bus ride to Schenectady is an hour, and I had an entire hour to watch everyone behaving perfectly normally. So by the time I got there, I felt like a real dolt.
Yeah, I was surprised that there wasn't any rioting or looting.
People were surprisingly civil. I think we were just all in such shock. You know, I mean, there have been some acts Since then, now that people have kind of gotten back to a little bit more of normalcy, but there really wasn't much right away.
No, I agree. Anyway, I lost track of where I was going here.
Oh, I'm sorry. So yes, it's inherently evil, okay. And not a religious
inherently
act.
Inherently evil. Not an act of religious people. We should not allow ourselves to be part of the game if we do not want to be part of the game. And as religious people, well, religious people should not allow themselves to be part of the game. If we give up our liberties, we're playing the game. We're playing their game. Not only are we playing their game, we're playing right into their hands. They want to make us abandon our way of life. This is a
exactly
theme that we've
what George W.
Over
said
and over tonight.
And his speechwriter is correct. They are fighting against our way of life. It is true. And if we censor ourselves, if we live in fear, you know, bravery, it's not, it doesn't mean that you don't feel fear. It just means that you don't live it.
Right.
And so, you know, just do your best to go about your normal life like you always would, you know. It's all we can do.
And lastly, she made a more broad-reaching remark, which I think is probably worth repeating. She says, "This is not the reason why we've been created. We have a better, higher purpose than power and money. And this is all about a power play." Further proof, I think, of her first point, that this could not have come from religious people.
Mm-hmm.
It is very clearly a power play.
I was reading a literary interpretation of the Psalms just today, and a lot of the Psalms even center right around the idea of the powerful man versus the good man.
Right.
And which one is more, I'm going to wax religious for a minute here, but which one is God's favorite, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
And think about your priorities, you know. Whose favorite do you want to be?
All right.
I don't want to be man's favorite. I don't care about man. I mean, I care about man, but you know what I mean. That's not all part of the big picture. So, yeah, I mean, it's about power. Don't give up your personal power. Don't give up your personal power. There are other things you can do, too, of course. I mean, when I say it's the only thing you can do, I mean, of course, go give blood. You know, do your volunteer work. Everybody feels that they have to do something, but also fight your fear, you know. Be brave. Live your normal life. Don't give it up, because that's what they want.
If you give it up, they have won. Anyway, moving along, and my thanks go out to that caller for calling in and for listening. You can call in, too, at 518-276-6248. And let's see here. This is an interesting item, I thought. This is off of the Open Source Development Network, which is a place where computer geeks such as myself come together to build free software. There's a concern here. John Gilmore put this article up. He says, "We freedom-loving U.S. citizens have had to rely on the freedom-loving citizens of saner countries to do the work of making strong encryption for many years. We had a brief respite in which we will eventually resume for good. In the meantime, please let me apologize for my countrymen and for my government for asking you to shoulder most of the burden again. The evil gnomes who keep us keep advancing unconstitutional U.S. anti-cryptography policies know that the current hysteria in Congress and the administration will not last forever, so they will probably move very quickly, within a week is my guess, to re-control encryption, either by unilateral action of the administration by amending the Export Administration regulations or by stuffing a rider onto some so-called emergency bill in Congress. They maneuvered very carefully in the Bernstein case, so there's no outstanding injunction against violating the Constitution in this way, and even no binding Ninth Circuit precedent that tells them that it's unconstitutional to do so. They know in their hearts that numerous judges have found it unconstitutional, but they have proven throughout the 7-year history of the case that they don't give a damn about the Constitution. That means it may take weeks, months, or years for civil liberties workers to get a judge to roll back any such action. Not just days. We won the case, but they squirmed out of any permanent restrictions so far. the U.S. government has a new mania for wiretapping everyone in case he might be a terrorist. There are already two bills in Congress making it trivial for them to wiretap anybody on flimsy excuses and to retroactively justify their precipitous act of rolling out carnivore boxes into major internet service providers this week and demanding, without legal authority, that they be put at the heart of the networks. Even more than before, we will need good encryption tools, merely to maintain privacy for law-abiding citizens, political activists, and human rights workers. In the current hysteria, the mere messages advocating peace or constitutional rights might best be encrypted. The European Parliament also recently recommended that European communications be routinely encrypted to protect them from pervasive U.S. echelon wiretaps. Some U.S. developers who thought such a reversal would never happen have built or maintained a number of good open-source encryption tools in the United States and may not have lined up solid foreign maintainers or home sites. Let's fix that. We need volunteers in many countries to mirror the current distributions, CVS trees, etc. We need volunteers to also act as maintainers, accepting patches and integrating them into old solid releases. Note that too many countries have pledged to stand toe-to-toe with the U.S., while they march off to make war on somebody, though they can't figure out who it is yet. If you live in one of those countries, you may suddenly find that your own cryptography regulations have been sneakily altered. Take care that each useful package has maintainers and distribution points in diverse countries. I haven't kept close track of which packages are in danger. I suggest that people nominate packages, that others immediately grab mirror copies of them as they are nominated, and that some of those who mirror them keep quiet in case hysterical governments make a concerted effort to stamp out all copies and or major distribution sites. If you aren't the quiet type, then after immediately pulling a copy of the code outside the U.S. jurisdiction, announce your mirror. We freedom-loving U.S. citizens have had to rely on freedom-loving citizens of saner countries to do the work of maintaining strong encryption for many years. We have had a brief respite, which we will eventually resume for good. In the meantime, please let me apologize for my countrymen and my government for asking you to shoulder the most of the burden again. Thank you so much. P.S. Companies with proprietary encryption packages might consider immediately open sourcing and exporting their encryption add-ins so their consumers can still get them from overseas archives, or taking other actions to safeguard the privacy and integrity of the customer's data and the society's infrastructure. I also advise that they lobby like hell to keep privacy and integrity legal in the U.S. Wow. I suppose a little bit of explanation is in order. What we have here...
Remember what Phil said about the deer and the headlights? That's what I'm experiencing right now.
Oh, boy. Well, that was said off air, so I had been kind of letting that one kind of go by the wayside. But... what we have here is a reference to a time in the past when it was illegal in the United States to distribute overseas any sort of strong encryption product. It was possible to make one and distribute it with some extreme limitations, but you couldn't get it overseas.
Huh.
And the person that finally made it break down by a very brave act of civil disobedience was a man by the name of Phil Zimmerman, who wrote a product called PGP. And PGP stands for Pretty Good Privacy. It's an extremely powerful encryption program that he wrote and put together and published on the internet by, legend has it anyway, by driving around with a laptop computer and a modem and dropping a piece here, a piece there, using payphones here, a cell phone there, a friend's home phone someplace else, and then finally bringing all of the pieces together. Now, it sounds silly. It sounds like it could be an urban legend.
But
and for all I know, it may very well be. But it worked. It got this piece of software out there, and it got the government very PO'd very quickly. And
yeah,
they came looking
it.
For him.
They deserve it. Shouldn't make stuff like that illegal.
No, you shouldn't. No. Absolutely, you should not.
Of course, we all
make
know
strong encryption illegal. Privacy, by making strong encryption illegal, privacy is made illegal in the internet world.
You know, speaking of pretty good privacy, actually, have you seen Windows RG?
No.
Oh, this
dare
is something. This is something that Phil.
I've never heard of this
on the internet. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. Having worked as a secretary quite a lot and used a lot of word processors, it was very funny. It's the Windows really good version. Really good. And what it does is you open the word processor and it pops up in that, you know, that damn paperclip. Everybody knows that damn paperclip. I hate that paperclip.
Everybody hates the paperclip.
So
if they love the paperclip at first, they eventually end up hating it.
You all learn to hate the paperclip before long. It seems like a good idea at first when you're, you know, like say a brand new secretary who can't remember from school how to write a business letter. But once you've been at work for a day or two, it gets a little old. So what happens is you choose word processing and this thing pops up and with that damn paperclip on it. And then you type a little something and it says, it looks as though you're not typing a letter. Why not? I like letters. Let's type one now. Then it clears the screen and it says, when writing a letter, you should use words like, I forget what it says, you should use words like milk. I like milk. You know, and then he just starts, and words like sponge. Sponge is good. And you should always use lots of pictures in your letter. Here's a picture of my cousin. And then it shows this giant picture of a paperclip. It's delightful. I don't know where I got it from, but I saw it and I almost wet myself. It was
the funniest thing I saw. Yeah. Was this a flash animation?
Yeah, it was. It was some type of flash animation.
That is really funny.
It was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And then there's you know, Windows Internet or something, and you pop it up, and this little window comes up telling you why it can't do it, and you should try doing this. So you try doing that, and then this little window pops up again and says why you can't do it, and try doing this.
Cute.
Just like every time you try to do anything in Windows.
I think I'm going to have to see this thing.
Yeah, you do. I'll try and sort out maybe, I don't know, is it something you'd be willing to do to set up some kind of link for a download on your website for people to look at it?
I'll have to find out what the legal ramifications are.
Yeah, we'll sort that out. But if you're interested, check it out, because he might put it up. You don't know. But it's very funny. It's well worth. There's a lot more than I said.
We had said there was something else we were going to put up there. What was it? Oh, the list of songs. Yeah. Let me make a note of that before I forget it. Oh, Phil has just entered the room.
Phil has popped in that microphone.
It was on cruel.com, and there was a link. I tried saving it. There has to be a way to do it. I just didn't have time to play around with it. But there was Windows RG. It's a flash animation, and it was quite humorous.
Windows RG. Got it. Yeah, I mean they keep coming up with these two-letter abbreviations for the various Windows products. They don't really tell you unless you really ask what exactly they stand for. I mean, let me ask you this, Phil. You know what Windows NT stands for?
No.
New technology.
Really?
New technology. That's what it stands for.
That's very silly.
Well,
that makes Windows really good version sound like legitimate.
So what's XP stand for?
Experience, from my understanding. And CE
experience
is, of course, experience in buggering over the customer. And of course there's Windows Compact Edition, or CE. Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway.
I'll be damned.
I don't know. I had the opportunity to get a sneak preview of Windows XP, and believe it or not, I never thought I'd say this about a Microsoft product, but I was quite impressed with it. And I don't know, it's not worth the money. I still think Microsoft's ripping off the general public, but
it looks weird. I don't know, like, they changed everything about the way it looks. I think a lot of people are going to be pissed trying to figure out how the hell to work.
Well, you can change it. I mean, by default, they have all these new features.
Yeah, you can, but the next couple of editions, they're going to phase that out, and you're not going to be able to change it to the classic settings, and people are going to be mad.
That's true. Now, Phil, you were...
People get crotchety when you change their work systems on them
You were telling me that the XP interface kind of resembled some of the Linux interfaces, yeah?
Well, when I was first setting it up, it asked for, you could set up different usernames, and then when you log in, you could choose what user you want to be, and when you shut it down, it says, I can't remember what it said, but it's like it's logging out. It's interesting. I think they gave it more of a Linux feel, but I think it's more aesthetic than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it
actually,
is. This
sounds
Microsoft.
Like a, that sounds like an NT engine at work, actually.
I think it's based upon Windows 2000. They built XP up from there, from my understanding. But there's a lot of things I don't like about it. There's no longer any ISA support, from my understanding.
Any which support?
ISA, for ISA cards.
Oh, ISA, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you had said ISIS, and that's what threw me. I'm like, what
yes,
is an ISIS?
Yes, there's no more help from the Egyptian goddess of the moon. That's right. Right now, Bill Gates has her in his back pocket to pull her out at will just from a simple hotline call to 1-800-CALL-ISIS. That's 1-800-CALL-ISIS. But after the XP edition comes out, you will no longer be able to consult with ISIS for all your computer technology
needs. If it's Microsoft, it would probably be more like a 1-900 number, or they want money somehow.
One of those, it'll be one of those Caribbean numbers.
Yeah, that's it. one of those 809 numbers that you got to watch out for.
Yeah.
All right. As promised, we're going to run another song from the list, and shortly after that, we're probably going to close up as the next crew has arrived. This is, again, songs that have appeared on a list that's been distributed amongst Clear Channel's managers as songs that are suggested that they may not want to play.
I
You've been listening to Little Brother, episode number 21 for the 22nd of September 2001. Bid a fond farewell to my friend Phil and my sister Lil, and we will be back again this time next week with more of the same. So please tune in.
Concrete.